Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you open up our hearts. You give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you, Father, that our hearts are open and receptive to your word, which does not return void, but accomplishes that thing and where you send it to. And so you're sending your word this morning into our hearts, and it's going to accomplish the thing you sent it to do. Father, I thank you that you use my tongue as the pen of the ready writer, to speak forth, as it were, the oracles of God. Thank you, Father, for giving me utterance by your Spirit, that I might speak with all boldness the word of God, and that it might be engrafted in our hearts, forever changing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, this morning, my message this morning is going to be an offshoot of what I've been having to go through myself. So if I've had to go through it, that means I can speak from it, right? Right? And so this morning I come in, and I guess I must have looked a little heavy or something, or Deb just picked up in it. And she comes up to me and she says, Pastor, I just feel prompted. I have to pray for you. Isn't that nice? I said, well, praise the Lord. Somebody does. That's not a dig. That's just a joke. I'm just teasing with you. I know you guys pray for me. But she comes up to me and she starts praying for me. And she says, I just get this word, courage. Courage. And I started to kind of laugh. And the reason for that is because, open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. This morning's message is called Carefree. I like carefree. Want to live carefree? I want to live carefree. I like to live carefree. Praise the Lord. And, you know, when you're an adult or you're a kid and you've got stuff going on, it's easy to give a care. You know, people say, take care. No. Jesus said, take your care and toss it on him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. So when Deb came up to me this morning and she said, I've got a word for you, just be courageous. And she starts praying for me. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what is he telling us here? Well, let's translate this word law for a minute first. You know what it just means? It just means teachings. It just means commandments. It just means whatever God told you to do, just do it. If he gives you a word, be courageous, just be courageous. If he says you're going to have a baby, go ahead, just have the baby. You're not going to fight with God over it, right? You know, when he said, told us you're going to have a son, name him Josiah, I didn't fight with him. Okay, we'll do that. You know what I'm saying? When he says your words have been stout against me, it's time for correction. Right. Listen, he's got something to say to you. So here he's saying, just be strong and courageous. See, here you've got the Israelites. They have just spent 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years in the desert. Now God is going to take them into the promised land, where they're going to find what? An easy access, open doors everywhere they go. Everything's just going to be easy. Everything's just going to fall in line. It's all going to just be a piece of cake, baby. You put your rose-colored glasses on and just slide on in. No! There were giants.
That's right.
The cities were occupied with other people already. Would God tell you to go to war? What do you think? Yeah? He might. Because sometimes you're going to have to go to war with the giant. Sometimes you're going to have to go to war to get into the land, into the promises that God has made to you. You're going to have to fight for it. Sometimes you're going to have to fight for your life. Right? Anybody ever had to fight for their life? Come on. You ever had to help somebody else fight for their life? Right? It wasn't going to be easy. That's why God said, be strong and very courageous. If you'll just keep my word, if you'll just keep my commandments, my teachings that I've given to you while you were here, then if you'll keep those and be strong and courageous as you're going into the land, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to help you. He never said it's going to be easy. Because one of the first things they had to do was they had to go over the Jordan River. They had to trust God. I mean, I know I skipped over, you know, the instance with Rahab for our Bible scholars out there. But one of the big things they had to do, they've got this entire nation that has to cross the river. You want to go out and cross the American River right now? How about in spring? No. Why? Because you could get washed away. God takes them down to the Jordan River, and what does he do? He separates them. What did they have to do first, though? They had to go to it. They went to it. God took care of the situation. Amen? Amen. We have to go to it. Sometimes you're going to have to walk right up into that, in the face of that thing and say, God told me to go here. Right? God told me I'm going to do this and it's going to work out. God said, do this and be very courageous and it'll be okay. Maybe everything isn't going to fall in line the way you thought it would. Maybe everything isn't going to, you're not going to come out smelling like roses on the other side. You might smell a little bit like smoke. You might have a little bit of blood on your hands. But you're going to get through it if he said you're going to get through it. Right? Huh? Right. We started moving down here. We didn't even have a house yet. Did you know that? We saw one little house that was for rent. And we called the guy and he said, I already rented it to someone else. Praise the Lord. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. God will work it out. God will work it out. Get a phone call from Verna. I saw a house on Craigslist. I called. They don't take pets. Well, I got a dog and a cat. Can't get rid of them. Talk to the landlords. Well, you're going to be the pastors of that church. Well, we've got dogs. Dogs don't bother us. What about the cat? Well, you're going to be the pastors of the church, huh? Okay. So they're looking for good tenants. Right? You know what they do? Whenever they're here, they go to church here now. You know? Did we know that that would happen? No, I mean, we're packing up our truck, which is, oddly enough, right now, in our driveway, because we unloaded 2.5 cords of wood yesterday. I feel like, you know, that the guy who just, I just flew in from out of state, and boy, are my arms tired. Anyway. We're just getting ready to leave, and we get this call, and man, I mean, we're 2 weeks from being here, a week and a half from being here, and we finally got a house. Right. And we never even saw it. No. We're like, it's 3 bedrooms? Okay, we'll take it. I mean, we moved down here, we didn't know that wood was the primary source of heat. No. I mean, there's some things we didn't know. You want to talk about smelling like smoke? We had some wood in the backyard, and that was great. That's awesome. Diane comes over. She says, I'm going to show you how to start fires, okay? We're like, thank you. She says, I brought you some kindling and some special fat wood, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And man, I mean, she got us started, and she helped us figure it out. But you know, see, God will send you people. We don't always know how everything's going to work out, but be strong and be courageous.
That's right.
God's got it figured out. If you'll just keep walking with him.
That's right.
I have found out in my life, if I'll just keep walking with him, he'll just keep working everything out ahead of me.
That's right.
That's how we can live carefree. Right. Romans 10:17, and you could turn there or you can write it down. Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he says, therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what word of God was actually written then? Was he referring to the book of Ephesians?
No.
Maybe the Gospel of Matthew? No? Well, he was referring to the Law and the Prophets. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing here, right? Don't turn to the left or the right from it. You know, Paul looked in the Old Covenant and the old writings, the Torah, the old books of the Bible, we call them, or the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And that's where he would look and he'd find and he'd get revelation. I know that fly is something else, isn't he? He's one of those ear, nose, and throat specialists. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's just trying to get in your ear. He's trying to get in your nose. He's trying to get in your throat. I mean, he's, bless the Lord. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. When God speaks to us, and we talked about this for a while, we talked out of Isaiah 55:11. My wife and I laughed when you brought that up. Knowing the ways of God. The ways of God are found in his word. When we follow his word, then we're cooperating with him. We're letting his word, in other words, we can let our circumstances and our situations and the things in front of us or possess us, or we can let the word of God possess us. We can let our mind be possessed by the word of God. Not like a demonic possession. Well, no, that's silly. We're talking about the word of God. We're having our minds renewed by the word of God. Right. See, the children of Israel going into the promised land. They had the law and the prophets. They had the commandments of God given to them by Moses. And they had those things to hold on to. You know, if we'll just do what he says, he's going to take care of us. If we'll just do what he says, he's going to take care of us. And when we trust him, then we can have a carefree life. Why? Because we're putting our care on him. That's right. Faith, he does. He needs to go outside. It's okay. Everybody's batted that fly around today. And he's a distraction, so we'll stop being distracted by him. Matthew 6:25-34. Let's turn to Matthew 6. This is Jesus. Can we trust Jesus? Yes. Of course we can trust Jesus. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, we won't find out what that therefore is there for today, but we can do that another time. I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Just thinking about my son running around naked. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet you could say my heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, this is Jesus. He's referring to God. And he's telling them, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are you not more valuable than a sparrow?
Yes.
Right? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his nature? The cubit is the span of the hand from the end of your pinky to the tip of your thumb. That's a cubit. Can you add that? Can you add it to you? And I'm not talking with stilettos, okay, ladies? All right? So why are you worrying about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What is faith? Faith is what you believe. Do you have a little faith concerning this or a lot of faith concerning this? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles or the heathen seek, for your heavenly Father, again, your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Now, how many times have he told us already here not to worry? Don't worry. How many people, I don't want to get a show of hands on how many people think that worry is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, if it wasn't for worry, I wouldn't have any gift. No, worry's not a gift. It's a command not to do. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do you think that there was an opportunity for the children of Israel to worry going in to face the land of the promised land with giants? Yes. Walled cities? Yes. Did they have an opportunity to worry?
Yes.
But be strong and very courageous. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Several times right here he says, do not worry about it. Do not worry. Don't worry. Do not worry. Philippians 4. We're going to hit some scripture. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be shown to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there are anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned... I'm sorry, let's go to verse 13. Then verse 13, you skip down over to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I've just got so much on my mind. You know, the creditors are coming after me. The doctor just gave me this report. Do not worry. Don't worry about it. Find something good to think about. Find the word. What are they told to do? Joshua told them to meditate on the word day and night. So what do you do instead of worry about your bills not being paid? Meditate on the word. What word? Well, find a word where God took care of people financially.
Right.
Find where he says, all my needs are met in him. Okay. He's meeting all my needs. It doesn't matter what happens. We reached the place on this house down in Santa Maria. We said, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to give any care to it. I'm not going to give any concern to it. If the house doesn't sell, we'll let it go into foreclosure. What else are we going to do? Will God take care of us no matter what?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know what happened? I said that. You know what happened? Escrow closes next week. The house sold. You know what? Even if it wasn't in escrow and selling next week, is God taking care of it?
Yes.
Did we purpose in our heart to go out and default on a loan? No. Don't just, you know, say, well, I'm just not going to make any car payments anymore. I'm just going to let God take care of it. Well, then you should have never gotten into that car deal. Unless God said, you buy that car, I'm going to take care of it. Right? I mean, if he's going to take you there, he's going to provide for you there. Was he taking them into the promised land? Was he going to take care of them there? Did he tell them not to worry and be concerned about it? Keep their minds ever set on him. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, if we'll keep our minds set on him, if we'll do what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, think on whatever things are goodly or good or lovely of good report. Right? Think on a good report. What's your good report? Well, my good report is God's taking care of all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, he is the Lord who heals me.
Amen.
He is my strength and my standby. He will renew my strength as the eagle.
That's right.
Well, those are good reports, aren't they?
Yes.
Whose report are they?
Lord.
They're his report. Who has believed our report? I do. I believe the report of the Lord. If he told me something, I'm going to believe him. And I don't have to know, honey, how it's going to work out. I don't have to know. The children of Israel didn't have to know how it was going to work out. They just knew that if they stuck with God, he was going to work it out for them. He's going to work it out for you. Somebody would say, well, you know, you got to think about numbers. Now, I don't have to think about numbers. Did you know that? God told David, king of Israel, don't take a census. Gideon was going to war. God said, you need to get rid of some people. Is there concern over numbers? No. Whose church is it? It's God's church. If I build it, whose church is it? It's mine. If I have to go out and find people and drag them in, whose church is it?
Yours.
Well, we've seen stuff like that, where somebody becomes the superhero or the popular person, and we've seen this many, many times. And we've been in churches where the pastor was the superstar, and when the pastor left, the church fell apart. But the church isn't about the pastor. The church is about the people. It's about the body. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I tell you that that's been on my mind all this week? You know? And every time, I have to say, nope. It's not my church, Lord. It's yours. I preach the word. I do what you say. We do what you tell us. And he builds the church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Amen? So when Deb comes to me this morning, she says, be courageous. This is the word the Lord showed me for you this morning. Can I tell you? Does it seem like maybe she heard from God? Right? I mean, because what's my message about? I'm telling you what. When the church starts to come together and be the church, instead of just a Kiwanis club or a Rotary club where you meet and you do fun things together, and there's nothing wrong with doing fun things together. We love to have fun together, don't we? Yeah. Right? It's fun. We love to fellowship together. I mean, come on, I let you all sit, you know, turn around and greet each other, and I've got to have a gavel to get your back. You know, you guys love each other. I love that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see relationships develop and see people draw closer to each other. Amen? Someone would say, well, I just can't do that. I can't. You know, my mother was a worrier. My grandmother was a worrier. Oh, my goodness, we just worry about everything. And that's just how we show love to each other. No, it's not. No, it's not, honey. Worry is not how you show love. When your child is hurt and in pain, do you want to just sit down and cry and worry with them about how awful things are and commiserate? No, what are you going to do? You're steady. You're secure. It's going to be okay, baby. Don't worry about it. Mama's got you. Daddy's got you. Josiah, we were out doing the wood yesterday, and you know those bees. Oh, good Lord. I can't wait for a good freeze. I'm ready for a good freeze to get rid of the bugs for a while. You know what I'm saying? A bee got down in his boot, and it bit him. That's his second time this year he's been bit by a bee. Carried him up the stairs. We put bleach on it. We put a salve of vinegar and baking soda on it. I put the, you know, because they've got the antibiotic cream with pain reliever in it. I mean, we put everything on it. And we, well, obviously, we prayed. Please cry. We didn't say, oh, this is horrible. What are we going to do? Oh, I just love you so much. I can't believe you got bit by a bee. Oh, we don't know what to do. And then we all just sit around crying. Have anybody seen Snow White, the movie Snow White? Remember, she's chased off by the huntsman, and she runs into the wood, and she sees eyes everywhere, and there's wildlife everywhere, and she's scared, and she falls into the middle of the dirt in this open meadow, and she just collapses there. Oh! No! Don't do that! Don't do that! That's not how we show love for each other. When somebody is weak, we're strength for them.
That's right.
Listen, you know, when you're going through something, do you want me to come to your house and go, oh, this is just horrible. I wish we knew what to do. If only God would hear our prayers. No. How's that going to help you? Is that going to help you? No. Am I supposed to sit in my office and worry about the church? Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Oh, if only there was some supernatural being out there that could help us get through all of this. And just, if we could blink our eyes and fold our hands and just make everything right. No! We're going to have to trust in God. We're going to have to be strong and be very courageous. He wants us to be strong and courageous. Yeah, that's his character. Jesus, he's sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, God, if there's any way this can pass for me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Did he cry and weep? Did he collapse on the ground and say, I just can't do this. Send 10,000 angels instead. No. What if he'd done that? Where would we be? Right? Now, I'm not saying we're without compassion. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and he looked and he said, he wept for them because he longed so much for his own people to receive him. We're not without compassion. Without love, we're just clanging cymbals. We can't go around and say, well, you just don't have enough faith. Well, where's your love in that? No, we have to say, hey, I'm here for you. We're going to pray for you. We're supporting you. We're here for you. We love you. But we're not falling on the ground, weeping and crying and moaning. We're strong and we're courageous. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what we're facing. Whining and crying and complaining will never get us anywhere. Begging people won't get us anywhere. Has anybody ever just, I mean, you've just worried over a situation and it just turned out just right. I mean, all my worrying, man, it just, I worried and finally everything just worked out. Oh, I was so worried about our marriage and I just went into the closet and cried and cried and cried, and then God just miraculously saved our marriage. No, you work on it. You're strong. You face situations. Husbands and wives, we do not think alike naturally. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I mean, we're from totally different planets. We don't communicate the same. I mean, you can be walking around with your wife and we'll go out for a walk and we're quiet, and all of a sudden she starts picking up in mid-sentence in the conversation she's having in her head, and I don't know where she's coming from. I'm sorry, what? No, you have to go back further than that, sweetie. Who are you talking about? Oh, okay. I don't have to be careful. She loves me. She has grace. She knows me. None of us have ever fixed a problem by staying up, unable to sleep, worrying. You know, when she was in the hospital, I went home that first night when they said she wasn't going to live. And I went home. You know what I did? I slept. And you know what would happen? Fear would come on me, and I'd wake up. And you know what I'd say? No, that's a lie. She's going to live and not die. And you know what I did? I went back to sleep. I didn't come home and curl up in a puddle and start crying. Oh, God, what are we going to... No. When you're strong and courageous, you can face any situation and sleep well at night. You know, the Bible says he gives his beloved rest.
That's right.
Do you want rest?
Yes.
Well, rest comes from trusting him. See, that first group, when they came out of Egypt, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see how God could take them into the land of flowing with milk and honey. They got a report that there's giants in the land. That's one report. Oh, but the produce, man, you should see the fruit. I mean, they come in and they've got this vine of grapes that's so big, you've never seen anything like it. Look, here's what I'm promising you. You just have to get past this. If we just stop and dwell on, that giant is so big, man. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to die in the wilderness of that giant holding you back. Do you want to die in the wilderness of that giant holding you back?
No.
No. We want to be strong and very courageous. We want to go in and we want to take the land that God has promised to us. I could stay home and I could worry for you. I could just worry for you. Oh, Lord, Carol's just going through something horrible right now. It's just awful. Oh, I just feel so bad. Oh, Lord. Is that going to help Carol?
No.
Is that helping me?
No.
Who's it helping?
No one.
No one. It's not helping. It's not a help to the situation. I just want you to know I went home and cried for you for hours last night. No, that's not helping. What's helping? I went home, man, and I lifted you up. I found scriptures in the Bible that deal with your situation, and I prayed according to those scriptures, according to your situation. I believe everything's going to work out fine for you. Debbie Land's going, man, I mean, she's going through it. She comes in this morning. She's like, oh, Pastor. She says, I have to get back out to the house because the wind blew everything over for the baby shower. She said, but I wanted to come and set everything up for hospitality because it's my job. She says, but I've just been getting out some old notes from your messages. And my son, oh, he's so full of faith over the stuff that's happening. And she says, and we both decided that we need those Bibles that have red and the Cross Center reference in them. She says, can you help us find those? I'm like, yes. What is she doing? She's stirring herself up. Is she being strong and courageous? Yeah. Come on. We can go through it and we can, man. I mean, you can sit in the dryer or the washing machine on spin cycle, right? Or you can get out and you can go do something. Where did that come from? The washing machine on spin cycle? Just, you know, always going round, never getting anywhere, right? If I say I can't be strong and courageous, who did I just call a liar? God, because he said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If Jesus says, do not worry, and I intend to worry anyway, what am I doing? I'm going against his word.
That's
right. We go back, Isaiah 55:11. So is my word. It goes out of my mouth, and it accomplishes what I set it forth to do. Do you believe that if you put his word in your mouth, it's going to do for you what he said it's going to do?
Yes.
Yeah. If I say, okay, I'm not going to worry about it. I can't tell you how many times this week I said, no, I'm not going to worry about it. Nope, not going to give any thought to it. Take no care. Take no care. Not going to give any thought to it. Man, we haven't even got to the take no care part. Look at that. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 1. This is going to be good. Here's Jesus again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not. Let not. Let not. In other words, don't let. Don't let your heart be troubled. What does your heart want to do? It wants to be troubled. What do you have to do? Don't let it. Don't let your heart be troubled. When trouble comes and your heart wants to be troubled, don't let it. Nope. I'm going to trust in God in this. I'm going to see him through on this. I know that he's got me covered. Man, I mean, right there, just siding with him.
That's right.
Just side with him. No, I'm not going to get over into worry about this situation. I'm not going to get into fret about this situation. What am I going to do? I'm going to not let my heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't let it. Who's it up to? Jesus said, let not your heart. Whose responsibility is it? Is it Jesus' responsibility to not let your heart be troubled? No. He said, you, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. And we got the truck packed. We got the truck packed. We know where we're going. We don't know what we're going to do when we get there. I mean, we might have to stay in a hotel for a while. Is that all right? Is that going to work? Well, whatever. I mean, God's got it covered. What if we have to live somewhere several miles? Well, that's okay. Whatever.
We didn't have to drive the Alcan.
That's right. We did not have to drive the Alcan Highway in the middle of winter. That's a blessing right there. But I mean, sometimes Abraham, God told him, he said, get up away from your family's house and go to a land that I will show you. Did he even know where he was going?
No.
He didn't even know where he was going, did he?
No.
He said, you get up, pack your stuff, get ready to go, and I'll show you where you're going. He didn't know. He had to be led. I mean, he wasn't even filled with the Spirit. He didn't have an inward witness leading him, saying, no, you don't want to do that. Nope, you want to go this way. He had to wait until God would speak to him audibly. He didn't know. He had to trust. He had to be strong and very courageous, didn't he? They didn't even have scrolls back then with Abraham. They didn't have the first five books of the Bible on tape on a digital drive. They didn't even have it written on leaves yet. I mean, you couldn't pull out your leaf and go, oh, okay, well, you know, this leaf says be strong and courageous. Okay. They didn't have any of that. They had to just trust God. We had to just trust God. He said, take your son out. Sacrifice him. Well, whether he provides another offering or he brings my son back to life, I'm going to trust him. You willing to trust him? We're compassionate. We pray. We love. We don't lay down in a puddle and cry. I mean, yeah, sure, sometimes, I mean, you get bad news, you cry, get it out of your system, move on. Right? Because some people, I mean, we're more prone to cry than other people. Yes, some people cry at commercials. We have to decide. Make a decision. We're not going to worry. We're not going to fear. We're not going to fret. We're not going to say, well, what can I do? You can't. Sometimes the best thing you can do, the first thing you should do about everything is pray. Right? Okay, God, this is what they've said. This is what's happening. But this is what your word says concerning my situation. You know, that's a thing with prayer. Don't ever go into prayer without having some scripture. Right? Isaiah. God speaks to Isaiah. He says, come, let us reason together. What does that mean? That you can reason together with God about a situation. Can he show you things to come? Yes, he can. Can you depend on God to tell you what to do? Yes, you can. Every single time. Every single time, you can count on him. He's going to help you. Right. Amen? Amen? Well, we're just getting started on this. Because we're going to learn how to live a carefree life. Amen?
Amen?
All right, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you.
Thank you
for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word as an everlasting hope and anchor to help us in times of pressure and times of distress. We have your word as an anchor to help us. Thank you, Father. We refuse. Say, I refuse to worry. I refuse to care. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we just refuse to worry. We refuse to to fret and to be anxious and to just give ourselves over to the flesh. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that your word and your spirit comfort us. We thank you that you help us in time of need.
Yes.
And we bless you, Father, and I just bless every person here. I thank you, Father, that you watch over them and keep them, that you protect them. I thank you that your angels go before them, round about them, and watch over them and keep them. You protect them from the enemy. 1,000 may fall at their hand, 10,000 at their right side, but it shall not come near them.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.